Verse 28. And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. Now, when you're up on the Mount of Olives coming in, you can look down. Actually, you look down upon the city of Jerusalem, down into the city. The Mount of Olives sits above it. You're looking down across the city. And it came to pass, okay, and he was at the mount called Mount Olives. He sent two of his disciples down into the city. Go you into, actually, it wasn't, they were there at the village. So, most of the movies you see, they're in this big Jerusalem. And actually, they're just in the village outside, picking up the donkeys here. Saying, go you into the village opposite you, so either Bethphage or Bethany. In Matthew, it says it's Bethphage. In which, at your entering, you shall find a colt tied, whereon never yet a man sat. Loose him, and bring him here. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say to him, because the Lord has need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said to them. They walk in, and there's the donkey right there. And as they were loosing the colt, and the owners thereof said to them, what are you doing? And they said, the Lord has need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come near, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples, so he's not just the 12, but the multitude of his disciples following him up to Jerusalem, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and to praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that comes in the name of the Lord. They figured this was it. He's going to come in and he's taking over. Jesus is coming in and he's taking over. Now remember, this isn't the sermon. This is just what you're supposed to do on Palm Sunday. Blessed be the King that comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. This is it. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said to him, Master, rebuke your disciples. And he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Verse 4, chapter 21. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell you the daughter of Zion. Now remember, this is written to the Hebrews. Matthew's written to the Jews. Behold, your king comes to you, meek, and sitting upon an ass, the colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded. And they brought the ass and the colt, and they put on them their clothes, and setting thereon, and a great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches. I had to get to the palms. See, the other story didn't have the palms. You've got to know there's a scripture for everything. Everybody wave your palm at me. There you go. Yeah, I see that palm. And a very great multitude, they spread their way, garments in the way, and others cut down branches from the trees. How many know they have palm trees? And spread them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and followed crying, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Father, we thank you for the King. We thank you for the King that they were expecting in that day. That He is the King of Kings. He is King over me. We praise you, Lord. We say, Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest. That there is a King that is above every king. And though he did not take his kingship in that day, he has taken his kingship in us through the Holy Ghost. And he will one day come to bring his kingdom to the earth. And Father, we thank you this day that we dwell in that kingdom even now. We don't have to wait. We're not waiting for the kingdom to come. The kingdom has come. And as we worship and daily come before you in your word and in your presence through prayer and thanksgiving, repentance and faith, we thank you, Lord God, that you are daily transforming us into the likeness of that kingdom, that we do not need to perform and look like something, but merely to worship you in this day of worship. We come to worship and to be transformed by your presence and know that you are doing the work. And we give you the thanks and the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, let's let the children go for their classes. Turn over to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Talk about another king in his day. Well, we have Nebuchadnezzar. You remember he is the king of Babylon. I had a lot of kids, didn't we? Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. This guy's a fickle guy. You know, he's always prone to change his mind. He's bound by this world. He's bound by what he likes and what has hold of him. He's kind of like me. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but you know, earthly kings are kind of like me. They've got themselves a kingdom. You know, I've got my castle. It's up in Grapevine. I've got my little castle, and I rule that little castle. Now, I don't have one of the Colleyville castles or the South Lake castle. I just got an old 1973 Grapevine castle before the rich people moved in. Praise the Lord. But it's mine. Glory to God. Somebody's going to read me the scripture. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it. Ah, it's mine. It's my little kingdom right there. See, Nebuchadnezzar had himself a kingdom, and you'll remember that he went and took captive the children of Israel, and God let him do it because the children of Israel were worshiping their gods anyway. So, I mean, you know, if you worship another god, you might as well just go ahead and come down to their location and worship them there. God, he wants you to come to his house. You know, all those gods. You pick any god you can. You know, there's bunches of them. Amen? We got bunches of gods here. We just do. We got a lot of them. And, you know, you can worship them everywhere, all the time, 24 hours a day. They got them on the corners. You know, you can worship God, pick you one and worship you one anywhere, anytime. Isn't that great? That's what I call freedom of religion. This is America. Amen? Yeah. Well, if we have freedom of religion, we'll be okay. Well, how about that? You know, we got freedom of religion. Amen. And people just do whatever. People do whatever they want to do. Have you found that to be true? Huh? He didn't teach them, but people do whatever they want to do. Now, and then he's taken these, and he took the best of the best, if you'll remember from chapter 1 in Daniel. He took the best of the best of the young men, best and the brightest, just like Price Waterhouse, you know, just like your big companies. They get them from the best universities, get them for the best training. So Daniel and his three cohorts, who are now Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all four of those names are names that were given to them by the king, by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. They gave them new names. They gave them Babylonian names. You know, my grandfather, when he moved here, his name was Valetic. Everybody say that. Valetic. Yeah, see, now you're good Slovenes. Yes. His people came from Slovenia, which is up on the north part of Yugoslavia, the south part of Austria. That's where we came from. That's why I look like this. That's why I can be a member of the Hispanic Republican Club and they let me in, because I might look like I might say something in Spanish. Now, my sister could never pull that off, because she looks like Joyce. You know, she's fair and, you know, kind of light-haired and all that. She looks like the Halvorsen from Norway. What kind of a mix is that? You talk about a mutt. I mean, you know, we got people from across Europe to come together to make our family. I look like Geraldo. Thank you. Yeah, that's good. I don't know if that's good or not. And so he's brought the best and the brightest in from the Hebrew nation. And these guys, but the problem is with these best and brightest, they loved God. They worshiped God. They loved God. You couldn't take God out of these guys. You could take the boy out of the country, but you couldn't take God out of the boy. Because they loved God. They had been trained and taught, and they were raised by and had a relationship with God themselves. They had a relationship with God themselves. So they came in, and then they put them to school. Do you remember that? They put them to school for 3 years. Put them in school. Put them in the best Babylonian U. Put them in there. Sending somebody to Baylor or to, well, maybe not. Well, you got a Baylor kid in here. Or maybe it was Harvard. Maybe it was SMU. That was it. So they sent him to the very best Babylonian U. And they came out, and they didn't forsake their God. They couldn't transform them. They couldn't change them. They wouldn't even eat the king's meat. They wouldn't even eat the chicken fried steak. And the Budweiser. They'd just give us vegetables and water. Praise the Lord. Must have been nice, healthy. They said they looked healthier and more robust than the people who'd eaten the king's meat. They must have looked pretty robust. They must have looked pretty healthy. Because most of that meat and most of the rich delicacies that the king's people are going to eat are going to, you know, fill you out pretty well. But they looked, because God said it. He said, you give us what we can eat before our God. We're not going to eat that meat sacrificed to idols. We're not going to eat those things which have been used in worship to your gods. So they did that. And they looked better and were stronger than any of the other young men that had been brought in. So they've come in and then been placed in positions of authority. Then the very next item is that the king has a dream. And Daniel comes in and interprets the dream, because the magicians and the wise men of Babylon could do nothing, because the king said, I had a dream. I need you to interpret my dream, but I can't remember what it was. And if you can't tell me what it was, I'm going to kill you. Oh my gosh. In fact, we're going to kill all the wise men. So they sent out a decree to kill all the wise men. Daniel wasn't down there. Daniel was back at the house. And one of his good buddies was the king of the guard, and says, Hey, Daniel, come on out here. I need to take you and kill you. Because the king set out a decree. Tell me, what exactly is it? What that happened? Well, the king had this dream and he can't remember it, and he wants one of you guys to interpret it. Nobody can. Well, okay. Tell him I wasn't there, but I'll be there. I wasn't there, but I'm coming. And so he said, okay, there's a young man among the Hebrews. He's going to be able to do your dream, tell you what it is, and tell you what it means. And sure enough, Daniel came down, the Lord, and they prayed. And the four children, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel, they all got together and prayed and asked God. Say, God, show us the king's dream. And God did it. He showed him the king's dream. Now, just kind of in telling this little story, I'm showing you here is a story of how God takes his young men, takes his those whom who have dedicated themselves to him, and he exalts them. He cares for them. He takes them and puts them in position of authority within the world and causes their God to be exalted. Amen? Hallelujah. Allow yourself to be put in that position. First off, they put themselves in a dangerous position, a position of being persecuted. Hallelujah. Persecuted so that, you know, they stand out in the crowd. No, we're not going to eat that food. Just eat the food. Just eat what's, don't complain. Just eat what's put on your plate. You know. And don't tell somebody that you can interpret a dream. Just kind of, maybe kind of sneak out of town. You weren't in the front room anyway, so just kind of, you know, kind of retire somewhere. But no, tell the king I'll be there. He didn't have the dream yet. He said, just tell the king I'll be there. Boy, God, you're going to have to come through because I already told the king I'm going to come. Now, sure enough, he came, interpreted the dream, and the God of heaven was exalted. Nebuchadnezzar exalted the king of heaven. Well now, you remember that big tall statue? You remember that big tall statue that was in chapter 2? Anybody remember the big tall statue in the dream? Okay, we good. See, that's why you had to repeat everything. Every time you come, you got to repeat the whole story. The king had a dream. Statue, very tall. Top, the head was gold. Shoulders and the torso were silver. The loins and the thighs were copper. And the calves and the feet were iron. And the feet were clay and iron together. Okay, so there's one big statue. The top was gold. And of course, when the interpretation came, that Nebuchadnezzar, he was the gold. He was the greatest of the kingdoms. You remember? He was the greatest king. Well, now, let's look at chapter 3. I just wanted to remind you about that. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold. Now, where did we get that image of gold? What was the last thing he heard about gold? Is that this big statue, this big image set up, whose height he made an image of gold. This is verse 1 of chapter 3 in Daniel, whose height was 70 cubits. That's a score is 20, so 70 is 60, and cubits is 18 inches, so it's time and a half. So that's 60, so that's 90 feet tall. So he's got a 90-foot tall image. Now this thing doesn't have, it wasn't an image of the dream, obviously, because the image in the dream had gold, silver, brass. It does say copper, brass, and iron. And of course, you certainly can't make a statue with feet of iron and clay. That's just, what do you think would happen to that statue? Wouldn't stand up very well, would it? So, you're certainly not going to do that. Now, so you make your image, but he decided he's going to stick around a while. There isn't going to be a Persian kingdom. There isn't going to be a Greek kingdom. There isn't going to be a Roman kingdom. You just make the whole thing gold, and you make things happen the way you want them. God's dream said, you're going to go away. God's dream said, you're done. Not only did he say you're the greatest kingdom, but he also said you're finished. Amen? Isn't that powerful? You know, he liked that golden image. He liked being the greatest, but he just didn't like the guys coming under him. He wanted to make sure that he had an image before his people that would declare to these people, this kingdom will last forever. My kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. It doesn't work. You can make all the images you want. You can write all the history you want. Your kingdom is not an everlasting kingdom. My life is not mine. I don't have my little house and little castle is not an everlasting kingdom. If I want an everlasting kingdom, I've got to get under God's kingdom. Get under Him. Because if I'm living according to the flesh, and it's so easy to do. Now, when I say living according to the flesh, is that instead of saying, okay, God, I want to be totally, totally destroyed. I personally, I want to have no more life of my own. Can I pull that off? No. Can I work it up? No. But what I can do is hear from the Holy Spirit and say, Father, thank you for taking my life and transforming it into your kingdom. Now, what can I do to help? Thank you. Over here. What can I do to help? Thank you. I'm blind. I can't see. The lights are in my eyes. Everybody together. What can I do to help this? Thank you. We love participation. Bring the offering plates back. You can either talk or give. No, just kidding. Some people would rather give than talk, I guess. I don't know. So the king made this image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, and he set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs. Hey, they got sheriffs. Call the sheriff. And all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Okay, so they're going to come. They're going to bring all the bigwigs, all the people who have authority. So they want them to know that, okay, this is how we're going to do this. We're going to worship this thing. We're going to worship this image. And everybody who doesn't worship this image, let's find out. So the princes and the governors, verse 3, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together. So they called them, and then they came, verse 2, verse 3, to the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, what's that? Thank you. Psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falls not down and worships shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Now, it's interesting to me that when you hear the music play, you come before the image and you bow down and you worship. You give homage. You listen. You give full rapt attention. You worship. You give yourself to that image. It just occurred to me that how much entertainment is there today that gets my attention? It just grabs your attention. Usually, what do they have at the front end of some form of entertainment? Dun, 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 dun. Some kind of music. Basically, it's some kind of theme song that says to you, hey, it's time for NBC News. It's time for you to listen. It's time for you to come and submit yourself before what we're about to say. Doesn't matter whether it's funny. Doesn't matter whether it's news. Doesn't matter what they're producing for you to come and sit and listen to. It's for you. It's designed for you. So when the music plays and you come and give yourself to this kingdom, then you are worshiping this kingdom. Then I'm worshiping this kingdom. When I avail myself of the product of this kingdom, I'm worshiping. Well, that gets me. That nails me. I don't know about you, but it nails me when I avail myself of the kingdom of this world. When the music plays, I just drop myself right in there and pay close attention. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Could be TV, could be movies, could be news. Hallelujah. Good preaching. God's good, isn't he? His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. God's kingdom. But the kingdom of this world takes what God gave as the truth of what is coming to pass, and Nebuchadnezzar takes it and decides he's going to create his own place of worship. Rather than to worship the God that he declared, he puts himself up as God. It's right after he saw the glory of God through the dream. Now here he is. You know, I think I'll put up an image. Looks just like that one, except mine will be a never-ending kingdom. Verse 7, therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, and psaltery, and all the kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans, there's always certain Chaldeans, there's always certain guys that, you remember the guys that always kept an eye on Jesus? The Pharisees that always had an eye on Jesus, these are certain Chaldeans. They always had their eye on Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They always had their eye on these guys. They knew these guys did not go for the worship of this idol. You, O king, have made a decree. Talking to the king, these guys come in. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. That's what you say to a king. You, O king, have made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. So the executives, call them the executives, come in and notice that not everybody is watching. Not everybody is falling down. Not everybody is worshiping before the image. And they accused the best of the king's servants. And you've said, verse 11, whoso falls not down and worships, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province. How many know this is political? These guys don't like these guys being in charge. There are certain Jews, because they're getting into their money. This is the Babylonians who are complaining. You know, King, there are certain Jews whom you've set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. A certain Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, where's Daniel? Don't know where Daniel is. Either Daniel may be, maybe Daniel's, maybe you don't touch Daniel. If you're coming to the king, maybe after the dream, you don't touch Daniel. Don't know. Maybe Daniel's out on assignment somewhere, but he's not in this bunch. But Daniel, of course, brought his three friends. You'll remember that Daniel brought these three guys in. Say, hey, bring my friends in. And they'll help me with this. You remember at the end there of chapter 2, after the dream, says Daniel requested the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. So, you know, Daniel may be above reproach, and you don't touch Daniel if you're talking to the king. It's just something you may not do. However, these other guys, I mean, they're a little lower. So, in other words, you can go get them. And so, here we are. A certain Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these men, O king, have not regarded you. They serve not your gods nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, and this guy didn't take long. He's like me. Doesn't long for him to go from calm, sweet, and benevolent to rage and fury. Amen? I like to think of myself as pretty level-headed. Don't you? Hallelujah. Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They brought these men before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not you serve my gods nor worship the golden image which I have set up?" Put a little pressure on. I mean, yeah, you're in the presence of the king. You're not just hearing the herald. You're in the presence of the king. This is it. "If you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Oh. Well, you're gonna now accuse God of not being God. You're gonna accuse the God that gave you the dream to build and you from which you thought to build this image. You're gonna say he's not God. "Who is that God who shall deliver you out of my hands?" Defiance right in the face of God. You know, that's me every day. Amen? You believe that? Because if it's me, it must be you. Every day, I come into the face of God and refuse or just ignore the hope that's in my heart for the sake of a bowl of pottage, a bowl of ice cream, something. Just I want to do what I want to do. Amen? I want to do what I want to do. And yet I find that I am without joy in whatever it is I choose to do, apart from Him. We're so used to doing our own thing and gaining no value from it. Where joy is found in the presence of the Lord, being changed and transformed. There's hope in this world. The hope in this world is being changed and transformed by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Not by just trying to satisfy my own lusts, my own fun, whatever it is I think would make me happy and at peace. But to worship Him, thank Him, and to be transformed by His Holy Spirit. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. We're not afraid to answer you in this matter." Here he is, the king, in all of his rage and fury. Says, "If you bow down, good. If you don't bow down, I'll put you in the fiery furnace." And they said, "O king, we're not afraid to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us out of your hand, O king." Now, I love 18. First of all, he says, verse 17, he says, "And He will deliver us out of your hand. I believe that. I believe that whatever turns up, God is going to deliver me out of the hand of the king of this world. Amen? Do you believe that? I mean, believe. Oh my gosh, here they come. Yeah, but no, I believe that God is able to deliver me out of the hand of the king. How much persecution is there? There's quite a bit now. There's quite a bit now. Used to be, in, of course, in schools and what all else. Yeah, I mean, you can just talk about God. Teachers could have the Bible on their desk. People could, students were disciplined. Now they're undisciplined. There is no freedom to speak openly of the gospel in most any place without persecution. Verse 18, but if not, they said to the king, be it known to you, write it down. Write it down, Mr. Scribe. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. In other words, God is well able to deliver us out of his hand. He said, let's read that again. If it be so, in other words, what you say, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, it's kind of like very, first verse was very solid, you know. He is able and he will. But if we happen to burn up in the fire, we've got to put one in for God. So in other words, it doesn't mean our God is not God. If we burn up, our God is not God, I guess. That's not what they're saying. In fact, they're caveating here. But if not, be it known to you, O God, that we will not serve your gods. The fact that we will offer ourselves in the middle of this fiery furnace because we believe that God will deliver us out of your hand is enough to come against your blasphemy against God. Just the fact that we believe that God will deliver us is enough. Even if not, even if he, for whatever reason, did not deliver us, just that he is able is enough for us. We will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Otherwise, we will not worship you. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. Oh, I bet. And the form of his visage, his face, was changed. So apparently he was being kind of sweet to him. Boys. I mean, they're his boys. He's adopted them. He's brought them in, boys. If you worship, that'd be good. But if you don't, I'm going to put you in the fiery furnace. He's being nice. He's friendly to them. They're his boys. You ever had friends in the world? You're their boy. You're their girl. And they're talking to you and trying to encourage you. Look, if you'll just compromise, your nation is gone. The God you worshiped, I know I gave Daniel a good word, but I put you guys up in good positions. He's trying to sweeten the pot. Don't do this. I'll have to put you in the fiery furnace. They said, King, there's nothing you can say. We will not serve your God. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. I'm sure they're very sweet too when they said it. Then his countenance changed. Therefore he spoke and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was regularly heated. Stoke that thing. This is my rage. And this is the rage of the world. This is the rage of the Pharisees against Jesus. This is the rage of the world. The anger of this world against you is seven times hotter. You know, they throw the other people in. Hey, they just didn't fall down. But this, you have come against the king of this world. And he is not. You have claimed the God of heaven. You have claimed there is one God. God of heaven. That's whom you have claimed. It just says because somebody else didn't do it. They just got the regular furnace. But you. And you are high. You have been exalted and put in position. You're an example. And therefore, we're going to heat up the furnace seven times hotter. We're going to put you on the national news. This is going to be a spectacle. We're going to sell hot dogs. This is going to be good. So he heated it up seven times more than it was usually heated. Hate it when I lose my place. Verse 20, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army. I mean, this is a big spectacle. He commanded the most mighty men in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach. These little boys, just little, you know, 20-year-old kids. I mean, he brought in the biggest, meanest, you know, special forces to come in and bind the guys. You know, tie them up. Tie the guys up. So he brought them in and he bound Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, in their trousers, their hosen, that's trousers, their hats, and their other garments. So he just wrapped them right up. He just completely wrapped them up, tied them up. Going to throw them in whole hog. Not going to strip them down. Funny, because it was so immediate. It looks like it was, I don't know how long it takes to heat up a furnace, but, you know, it looked like they were trying to do this in a hurry. Didn't look like they, you know, took anything off of them, or they just bound them up as they were, right there standing in front. Usually when you burn people, I think you kind of strip them down or something. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That furnace was so hot that it burned up the soldiers who came to throw them in. Don't get too close. Don't get too close. I don't know what that tells you about serving the king. Throwing God's men. Don't be throwing God's men in the furnace. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spoke and said to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king, yep, three guys. But three, one, two, we counted them before we put them in. And then we probably lost six guys, you know, putting them in, two for each one, you know, to kind of grab him like this on each side. But of course, those guys got burned up. So he said, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. So we see three men plus one walking around in the midst of the furnace. Now, I don't know about you. I believe it's all true. I believe every word of it. I believe this is how God protects His people. And it was testified of. I believe every word of it. Oh, you fool. Hallelujah. But I'm okay. I'm with God. I know that Jesus loves me. I know what's happening to me. I know everything that is needed to be known. And he answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. He's given to the king a revelation of the Son of God. I mean, you know, you got three guys in there, you got four guys in there. What's the difference? There's a fourth guy in there who has a countenance that is like no other he's ever seen before. And the only way he can describe it is that the fourth looks like the Son of God. The fourth looks like the Son of God. He had a revelation of the presence of God, of the God of heaven in that furnace, in direct correlation to the testimony of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Discerning of spirits. Revelation by the will of God at a specific time. Right then, Nebuchadnezzar received a revelation. He saw, again, saw the God of heaven manifest himself. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace. Apparently it's calmed down a little bit. And spoke and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come here. Come out. So they stroll on out. Just kind of step out of the furnace. So they came forth out of the midst of the fire. And the princes and the governors and the captains and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men. A lot of testimony. Upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them, as if they hadn't even been in there. Okay, you didn't even smell like smoke. Didn't even smell like spring creek. I mean, you ever been to a barbecue joint? What do your clothes smell like when you come out of there? They smell like ribs. Even if you didn't wipe your hands on your shirt. Huh? I don't know about you. You know, this coat right here smells like barbecue. You want to smell? I mean, you smell like smoke when you come out of those places. I mean, you weren't even in the barbecue pit and you smell like smoke. Because there's smoke all in the place. They were in the barbecue pit. And the smoke came out, came all around them. Didn't smell like a thing. They weren't even in there. As far as God was concerned, they were in heaven. As far as God was concerned, they weren't even in that fire. Now you saw them in that fire, but they were somewhere else. Even though you still saw them, they were somewhere else. God delivered them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. This guy does know when he's been beat, but he forgets. Anybody like that? I've been, I'm always getting beat by God. I'm always getting, he's always turning things around on me because I'm wrong. And I'm after my own way. But thank God that he's speaking to me. And I believe that he's transforming me. Amen? Is he transforming you? Huh? I mean, you don't have hope in your own strength or ability to change, do you? You know, now we could preach the message, come on, folks, let's do it for Jesus. You know? But we've seen enough to know that, nobody can do it for Jesus. God saw that too. He said, in Judges, he said, every man did what was right in his own eyes. Just did what you want. You still do that. People did that, and that's why Israel got put in captivity, is because they were just doing what they want. The problem with doing what you want is not that God is mad about you doing what you want. The fact is it leads to death. Amen? It leads to death. It does not lead to life. Every idea that you have, everything that you think of to do leads to death. It doesn't lead to life. The only thing that leads to life is meditating on the Scripture and being transformed and translated out of this kingdom into the kingdom of His dear Son. That's the only thing that brings life. Because that life is the thing that is going to continue from the point at which Jesus comes back. This life will not continue. This existence, as you know it, will not continue. Well, maybe I'll be done and dead before then. Well, maybe, maybe not. But to listen to the Holy Spirit and to let Him transform you into the image of Jesus Christ with a few bumps and wrinkles. But He said He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. What about that? It's because you don't live, even though you live among this world, is that you don't believe in it. Without spot or wrinkle is you don't believe that's you. He said it over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when he's talking about the Lord's Supper, he said many of them coming together to feast and to have a party and all that. He said, eat at home. Don't have a big party goings on. He said this. He said, however, if every man who comes in to receive of the body and blood of the Lord, let him examine himself. And do not take unworthily. What is it to take unworthily? To take unworthily is to believe that there's anything that you can do. Or to believe that, gee, I better straighten up and fly right. That's when God will receive me. No, the body and the blood of the Lord is to show you that there was nothing you could do, and that's why we remember it. Amen? That's why I remember. What do I remember? That there's nothing I can do. It took the body and the blood of Jesus. So don't eat and drink unworthily. In that, you're under some kind of pressure or obligation to perform or do something to be good. You can't. But you take that in full humility, knowing that there is nothing that you can perform or do to win the love or the approval of God in your own self, in your life, in your flesh. There's nothing you can do. Yet God will come and dwell in you and transform you, and you will live according to the Word of God. You will live according to the Word of God. As you worship, as you remember, He tells you to remember. Peter says, I'm going to preach these things to you until I'm dead, that you always have them in remembrance. Nebuchadnezzar, he can't remember. He's like me. I just forget. So I come and I daily avail myself of the word and the truth. And daily I get forgiven. I never hold on to things that are, you know, sinful and wicked. I don't think maybe I can kind of maybe win God over, do something nice to offset what I've done. No, I can't do anything to offset my sin. I just sin. And I have got to say, Jesus, I sin. I'm wicked. I've failed. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for mercy. Thank you that I can come before you with praise and adoration every moment of every day, even in my worst day. Because you love me and you gave everything for me. You spent and spilled the blood of Jesus that every one of these sins over here is gone. Unbelief, anger, lust, envy, pride, self-pity. Come down and read it. Double-minded, anxious, covetous, prayerless, unrepentant. More than these. Every one of them is me. And every one of them is forgiven. Amen? Are you happy? Are you happy? Listen, don't be under burden. Don't be under a burden. Amen? Do not be under a burden. Well, I sin. Don't put your family under a burden. Well, they sinned. They need to know it too. And I need to tell them. Well, take care of the log that's in your own. Take the log that's in your own eye to Jesus. Don't try to pull it out. You might hurt somebody. You whack them in the head with it. Bam! It's like carrying that cross around. You try to move that thing out of here so you can put the crash in here. You bump into everything. You just want to make sure nobody's in the room when you try to move the cross of Jesus, you know, so you can have another display. You be careful. You might hit somebody in the head. Just let Jesus cut that log out. Just go into His presence. Go into the presence of God. Don't be afraid to come home. Anybody like that? You know, when you did something, you didn't want to come home. You didn't want to show up. You didn't want to be seen. You wanted to hide because you didn't do right. Come home. It's like the prodigal. It's just, you know, the guy's out there every day looking for it. Oh, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. No longer worthy to be called your son. Oh, get the calf, get the robe, get the ring, get the shoes. My boy's home. My girl's home. That's what the Father says. You know, the Father's just joyful. He's just rejoicing every time you come into His presence. Every time you come, it's like you've been away for days. He wants to be with you all the time. Amen? Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent His angel and delivered His servants that trusted in Him, and have changed the king's word, and have yielded their bodies, that they might not serve or worship any god except their own God." Well, there He is again. He said that last time. How many know, don't trust the world. Don't trust the world. Oh, the God of heaven blessed them. Well, next time, he's going to do something else. He hasn't repented. He was just inspired. How many know you can be inspired, but maybe you're not repentant? Pastor Jim talks about God coming in the window there at Yale. Didn't change him. Just depressed him. Amen? Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Just depressed you. It didn't change, it didn't transform you, it didn't bring you to God, it just kind of ruined your life. Everything you're doing is worthless. Oh, nuts. So you heard that word, but you didn't receive the goodness of God. Same thing with Nebuchadnezzar. He heard the word, and then he decided to make his own. He heard about his kingdom being the greatest kingdom, so he decided he'd make it an everlasting kingdom. Build a whole statue full of gold all the way down. So now these guys have come out of the furnace. He says, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word, gone against the king's word, and yielded their bodies. That is, they gave themselves up that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every nation, people, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. Well, good. And their houses shall be made a trash heap, because there is no other God, powerful words, that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. You can't trust the world. See, the world is into their own thing. Amen? No matter how many times they promote you, they have another agenda. It's not about you. It's about them. God's only got one agenda. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Trust Him. You trust Him? Even in the middle of every persecution, in the middle of all that you have to draw you to worship this world. We're born again. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're born again. You're born from above, as Jesus said to Nicodemus. You're born from above. And being born from above, that is, you are translated out of this kingdom, of the kingdom of this world, into the kingdom of His dear Son. You actually are a new creation. You're a new creation. I don't feel like a new creation. Looked in the mirror, don't look like one. You're a new creation. Say it, I'm a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm not what I was. What was I? I was of this world. I'm no longer of this world. Even though I carry a cell phone. I'm no longer of this world. Amen? You born again? Happy? Blessed? Shout? Glory to God? Sure are quiet. Sure is quiet in here. No, God's transformed you. You're a brand new creation. You're born of God. Made completely new. And as you meditate on those things and think on those things and receive those things, amen? It'll change you. It'll change you. You don't believe anymore like you used to believe. You don't believe that you can be destroyed. You believe that you're going to live forever. You believe you're living forever because of what's on the inside of you. The kingdom of heaven is on the inside of you. You're not looking to try to work out your own salvation. But the Holy Spirit is working that out. For it's God who is in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What's the fear and trembling part? Is that this has to die. This flesh no longer gets to rule. That's the fear and trembling part. Oh my gosh. I'm not in charge anymore. I don't get to do what I feel like doing. Because God is speaking to my heart. I know He loves me. And that's what's transforming. Is I know that He loves me. And in that knowledge and that transformation, He, as I meditate on Him and He speaks to my heart, then I begin to be directed to move in whatever direction that He sends me. And it's not me doing it. It's just I know that, you know, okay, I'm going over here. Like yesterday, I spent all day yesterday. I was doing 15, doing two or three, four different things. They weren't all spiritual things, but I knew that I was, you know, I was on my way here, and I knew that God sent me over here. Go visit that brother. Go talk to this guy. And yeah, it may not have been a spiritual thing, but it may be things that are necessary for me to do for God to get finished what He wants to get done. Amen? So be open to hear the Holy Spirit. I don't want to go over there. Well, you just go. There are the days you get that voice and you don't want to, I'm going home. Now just do what He told you to do. Just follow that. It's just like a little, you know? It's like, it's just giving you a little, you learn how to hear that nudge and that push and that, you learn how to hear that. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. You're not always going to do it. You may ignore it half the time. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. I can't see you. Nod your head. Praise the Lord. People want to nod their head. You know, it's kind of like, you know, are you nodding your head? I can't see. Hallelujah. Well, God is good, isn't He? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. See, these guys continued to worship their God, even under threat of death. You know, I will not fear what man can do to me. I will not fear what man can do to me. Let's stand again. Say it. I will not fear what man can do to me. I'm no longer of this world. I'm of the kingdom of God. Jesus is my Lord, not the kingdoms of this world. I worship Him alone. Father, let's lift our hands. Father, You are my Father. I thank You for transforming me, changing me into Your image by the Holy Spirit. I repent of my own willfulness and prayerlessness, wordlessness. And I thank You, Lord God, that You don't count these things against me. But You love me. I give You full rein to transform me in this world into Your image. And I praise You and thank You for it. Thank You for forgiving me. In Jesus' name. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.